I'm trying to get somewhere that's real and pure and true and eternal. Toby, can you go with your boy? Let's go.
From the Lighthouse Chapel International, Apostle Joel Abobisa will inspire you with anointed, practical, and down-to-earth Bible-based teachings that will refresh, energize, and motivate you to do your best for God. Join the Apostle now as he ministers the Word of God.
Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this afternoon. We pray that the light in your word will be turned on, that you will shine your light in our direction, Lord, and bless us. Speak to us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Hallelujah. Please be seated. Okay. And I have a short message to share with you today. Amen. But I believe if you receive this message with humility and with seriousness, I believe it will make a big difference in your life. Amen. Now, I've been sharing from the book, He That Hath. And I just wanted to share from one particular chapter with you. Amen. Right. So Mark 4:25 is the verse from which we get the title of that message, of that book, Mark chapter 4 and verse 25, Mark chapter 4 and verse 25. It says, "He that hath, for he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath." Amen. Now, this is what many people don't seem to understand or accept why something like this should be the case. If you're of a certain persuasion and mentality, then you think that the verse should really read, "He that hath, from him shall be taken that which he hath." Isn't it? It should be, "He that hath, from him shall be taken that which he hath." And what's in verse 26? Verse 26. So he said, "So is the kingdom of God, that as if a man should cast seed into the ground," and so on and so forth. But really, what people feel generally is that it is the ones who have who must be taken from. And then what is taken from them must be given to the ones who don't have. Do you get it? But, well, as you can see, the Bible doesn't agree with that. Amen. In the Bible, the one who has, to him shall be given. And the one who has not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. Hallelujah. So it's mysterious, but there are many reasons why it is so. Amen. Amen. And this amazing book, where is it? He that hath, second row, 1, 2, to the left, right. Okay. This amazing book is about that. And I believe if you read it, you will be blessed. Amen. Now, in chapter 6 of this book, it says that he that hath will get even more because of his ability to recognize the people God has sent into his life. Amen. The simple theory is that when someone has something, there's a reason why they have. And there is also often a reason why people don't have. Now, if those who have continue to do what they did to have, then they will add to what they have. Do you understand? And then those who do not have, if they continue to do what they do, that takes away what they have, then even what they have is about to be taken away. It does not make sense. Yes, if you look at it that way, you easily and quickly understand that that is the way it will be. Amen. Amen. That is why in the world you'll find that rich countries just get richer and then poorer countries just get poorer, you know, because there's a reason why certain countries are rich. There's what they allow, there's what they don't allow, you know, which allows them in many situations to be rich and to stay rich. Then poor countries also have a system, and that system also ensures and guarantees their poverty. And that system not changing, the poverty just continues. And it doesn't even matter which generation, which government, which whatever. It's just the system that's running, the mentality that dominates the culture continues to perpetuate poverty. And it just continues and continues like that. Amen. Amen. But anyway, people, he says, people who have anything, you know, have because they do certain things. Now, one of the things people who have do is that they are able to recognize the people that God has sent into their lives. Amen. If you want to be one who has, if you want to join he that hath, one of the things you have to develop is the ability to recognize people that God has sent into your life. Amen. Amen. Now, when you understand that someone has been sent into your life by God, the way you receive the person, the way you treat the person, changes. Amen. Because you know that this person is a blessing sent to me. Hallelujah. So we have to recognize God's provision through people. God blesses us often through the people he sends into our lives. Amen. Amen. Now, I'm reading another verse, Luke chapter 19 and verse 44. Luke chapter 19 and verse 44. In Luke chapter 19 and verse 44, the Bible says, and shall lay thee even with the ground. Maybe let's read 43 and 44. So we get it. 43 and 44. It says, for the days shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee in on every side. Right? Obviously, everything happening here is not nice, isn't it? Says your enemies. An enemy is anything that opposes you, that fights against your effort, anything that makes it difficult to advance, anything that makes it difficult to do well. Amen. That's an enemy. And he says, the day shall come upon thee that thine enemy shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee in on every side. That means hem you in. That means limit you. Means restrict you on every side. Have you ever felt or found yourself in a situation where you don't like the situation you're in, but there seems to be no way out? You can't really find the way out. You don't know what to do to get out of this situation, even though you know that you don't like the situation you are in. Do you get it? That sounds like what is being described here. It says the enemy is keeping thee in on every side. He's locked all the gates. Amen. Now, he says in verse 44 that, and he shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon the other, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. Amen. Now, all these negative things are happening because, he said, you didn't recognize your time of visitation. When God visited you, when God sent a blessing your way, when God sent someone to be a blessing to you, you did not recognize it. Amen. So a lot of negative things happen in our lives because we miss the time of our visitation. Hallelujah. We miss the time of our visitation. Now, it says here, indeed God visits his people to bless them and prosper them. It is important to recognize when God visits you to provide for you. Amen. God visits people to provide for them. Do not think that God provides for only some of his children. Right? Because you wouldn't do that, would you? You wouldn't provide for only some of your children. You would provide for all of your children. So God also will provide for all of his children. Amen. The problem is that we can often not recognize God's provision to us because we know of only one way, or we are sort of fixated on just the way that God should provide for us, a certain way that his help should come to us. And therefore, if his help comes to us in any other form or in any other way, we usually miss it. Hallelujah. Are you understanding it? Now, in Mark chapter 16 and verse 12, in Mark chapter 16 and verse 12, the Bible says that after that, he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. Amen. Amen. You can go back to maybe verse 10, so we can place that verse in a context. It says, and she went and told them that she had been with him as they mourned and wept. Right? This is someone who has seen Jesus and is reporting it back to the brethren that the man that we thought was dead is actually raised from the dead and he's alive. And she went and told them that she went and told them that had been with him as they mourned and wept. Now the next verse 11. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. Do you see? When they heard that Jesus was alive and had been seen of her, they didn't believe it. Then the next verse came. The next verse says, after that, he appeared in another form to two of them. Do you see? Yeah. As they walked and went into the country. Right. Now, the important thing for you to note here is how that the Lord seems to be able to appear or show up in our lives in more forms than one. Wow. Does it make sense? Yeah. Yes. Can you see from that verse that he appeared, but not in the form they were used to? Amen. So God can appear in your life in a form that is different from what you're used to. God can visit you in a way that is different from what you expect. God can show up in your life in a way that is not quite what you thought he would do. Hallelujah. And it's a matter of whether you will be able to recognize that this is God. This is God helping me. This is God providing for me. This is God blessing me. This is God's visitation. And in the earlier verse we read, it said that the people missed their visitation. They could not recognize that this is it. This is the help you are praying for. This is the visitation of God. And because of that, their enemies were able to hem them in on every side. You see, yes, it's like being in prison or being in a situation where you are locked up, but you don't recognize the keys that take you out. Do you see? Maybe the keys are lying right next to you, but you don't recognize them as the keys that will take you out of that situation. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm sharing so far? So it is important to be able to recognize God when he shows up in another form. Amen. It is important to recognize God when he shows up in a form that you are not used to. You should be able to recognize his provision. Amen. Even though God created the Garden of Eden and put Adam and Eve in there, God had to tell them to see what he had provided for them. Okay. Amen. He said, see, I've provided for you. I've given you all these things. Because it's like, it doesn't seem to be obvious that this is an answer. Hallelujah. When God blesses people, sometimes he blesses you by even placing you in a church. Whether you see that this is good for me, this is a provision for me, this is a blessing for me, you know, is now up to you. Hallelujah. So God does these things for his people all the time. Hallelujah. And when we don't recognize it, we tend to drive those people away. Hallelujah. We tend to drive those people away because we do not recognize that God is the one who has sent such people into our lives. Amen. Now, let me give you another good example in 1 Samuel chapter 10. In 1 Samuel chapter 10 and verse 25. In 1 Samuel chapter 10 and verse 25. You notice how God anointed Saul. Amen? Amen? God anointed Saul and made him king over the people of Israel. Now, when God anoints someone for you, it means that that person becomes supernaturally capable of meeting your needs. Amen? Amen. You see, when God anoints someone, it means God has equipped that person. So when God anoints someone for you, God has put something on that person that makes this same person who ordinarily or before was not able to do anything, able to now do something that will be a blessing. I think the best example I can give you is, let's say, a lady who has a baby. Do you get it? When a lady has a baby, now she suddenly has breast milk. You get it? Someone who was walking around before without breast milk, you see, now has breast milk. So you can believe that something has changed about her that has made her capable of being a blessing to a particular person. Do you understand? That she was not able to do before. Do you understand? She was not able to do before. She was not able to do it in January, in February, in March, in April. Then she has a baby in June. Then suddenly, from June, the person you knew in March is not the same person. Yeah. Are you getting it? The person you knew in March could not produce breast milk, but now in June, she is able to produce breast milk because something has happened to her that has changed her and has made her capable of doing something. That's how the anointing is. So when God anoints someone for you, that God makes that person supernaturally capable of being a blessing to you. And it is up to you to be able to see. So now this man called Saul, he has been anointed for the people that God sent him to. In the next verse, verse 26, the Bible says that he also, it says, Saul went home to Gibeah, and there went with him a band of men whose hearts God had touched. Maybe if we can back up a little bit, go to like maybe 23. Go to verse 23. And they ran and fetched him thence. And when he stood among the people, he was higher than any of the people from his shoulders and upward. And then next verse, and Samuel said to all the people, see ye him whom the Lord hath chosen. Okay? See ye him whom the Lord hath chosen. All right. That there is none like him among all the people. Can you change the version a little bit just for me? Right? It's Christmas. You have to be able to relax. Amen. All right? So give me maybe NASB, maybe. Good. Samuel said to all the people, do you see him whom the Lord has chosen? I think this is easy, isn't it? All right. See ye he him whom the Lord has chosen. That was not working at all. Right. But this one says, Samuel said to the people, do you see him whom the Lord hath chosen? Surely there is no one like him among all the people. So the people shouted and said, long live the king. Long live the king. Then verse 25. Then Samuel told the people the ordinances of the kingdom and wrote them in the book and placed it before the Lord. And Samuel sent all the people away, each one to his house. Then the next verse, 26. Saul also went to his house at Gibeah. And the valiant men whose hearts God had touched went with him. Right? Some people whose hearts God had touched. Some people felt a connection with him and they followed him. Can you see that? Yes. You see, you shouldn't take for granted sometimes the warm feelings, you know, or even the attraction you feel to a man of God or to a church. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because we are understanding from this verse that it is God who touches the hearts of people to follow someone.
Amen.
To like someone enough to want to be with the person and to want to be in his company. Are you getting it?
Yeah.
It is the Lord who does that kind of work. God touches the hearts of people.
Amen.
That it's that at that kind of attraction is supernatural.
Amen.
God puts it in your heart to like someone. Amen.
Amen.
And it is supernatural. So look at these people. Their hearts were touched by God and they went with him. But the next verse 27 says, but certain worthless men said, They said, how can this one deliver us? Do you understand? They said, how can this guy deliver us? Who is this guy? What's this thing? What's this church? What's in it? What's in it? This is just something. And it says they despised him. Can you see that? And did not bring him any present, but he kept silent. Amen. They despised him. They said, what is this? Well, there's nothing special about this thing. Do you get it? Now, the Bible says they are worthless. Do you get it? We are talking about he that hath. You see, so you shouldn't be surprised that they have nothing. You see, because even when God anointed someone for them, and the person was standing right in front of them, their attitude was, who is this guy? Do you see? Who is this guy? What can he do for us? He can't do anything for us. And meanwhile, there were other people whose hearts God had touched, such that even when the meeting was over, you know, and everybody had been told to go home, they wouldn't even go home. Do you see? Yes. There are some of you who don't like to go home after church. I have to pray for you. Do you see? But there is a reason for it. The reason is because God has touched your heart.
Amen.
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 You are experiencing a supernatural touch. That is what makes you like what you like. That's what makes you see something good in what we're doing. That's what makes you feel blessed when you come around here. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because the other type of person in the same environment looking at the same thing, you know, is filled with despisement and is saying, what is this? I mean, what are, you know, these people could not even wait for the service to be over. They wanted to go home. Are you getting it? Yeah. So he that hath is someone who is able to see the people that God has sent to them. Amen.
Amen.
And if you find yourself drawn, let's say, to this church, or drawn to the messages, the preaching, and these kinds of things in this church, you should see that it's a supernatural thing. And it is a God thing going on in your life.
Amen.
It's a visitation of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Now you should expect that to come under attack. You should expect that to come under attack because the enemy knows that your blessing and everything lies in that visitation.
Amen.
He knows that because it was when the people missed the visitation that the enemies were able to hem them in and to keep them captive. It was when they didn't experience the benefits of the visitation because they didn't see it when it happened. That's when the enemy gained advantage over them. So now a person who is able to recognize his visitation must expect that the only way the enemy can cheat him out of the best benefits and blessings of that visitation is to fight him for that visitation. Amen.
Amen.
Is to get him out of that place. Is to get him out of that environment. Get him out of that church. Get him away from that preacher. Anybody that God places in your life who will be a blessing to you, you should expect the enemy to come between you and that person. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So sometimes even the way to know who is a blessing is who you are quarreling with. Yeah, you just find, who do you, I mean, why are you under such strong pressure, you know, to why is this relationship being disrupted? It should make you question and suspect that there must be something there.
That's right.
Are you getting it? See, John chapter 10 and verse 10. John chapter 10 and verse 10. Are you with me? Are you still with me? Right? John chapter 10 and verse 10, the Bible says, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Can you see that? The thief cometh not but for what? To kill, to steal, and to destroy. That means if there's nothing to kill, to steal, or to destroy, the thief will not come. Do you understand? Look, thieves don't go to empty warehouses. There is no armed robbery in an empty warehouse. Yeah. Do you know that, like, when you go to Home Depot and so on, they sell all these sheds.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. They leave them outside because there's nothing in them.
Uh-huh.
And they are all unlocked.
Yeah.
Do you get it? Yes. Even though there are lots of thieves and people who would like to steal things around. I mean, thieves would rather spend the time to break into a locked car. Do you understand? Than go, looking around in an empty shed for something. Because they know there's nothing there. So if there is nothing there, the enemy will not show up to fight it. So as the enemy has come to come and fight it, it should speak to you that there must be something there. Yes, even the fact that you struggle so much even to belong to the church and to belong to this fellowship, it should speak to you. It should tell you that there must be something here for me. Do you understand? Yeah, the demons and evil spirits are fighting me, making me restless. Do you get it? Because they know there's something there for me and want me to miss my visitation. But you will not miss your visitation in the name of Jesus. At least you beat him today. Yes, you just need more of these victories. Can I have an amen? Hallelujah. Are you understanding the word of God? Right. Now, he that hath recognizes blessed people who have been sent into their lives. He that hath recognizes blessed people who have been sent into their lives. Hallelujah. Now, all people are not the same. All people are not the same. There is such a thing as a blessed person. And one of the things that he that hath does is that he has an eye for recognizing blessed people that have been sent into his life. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And that is one of the secrets behind him having something. Because he's able to recognize that this is someone who is blessed. And that person has been sent into my life. Are you understanding it? God may choose to provide for you through your association with a blessed person. Right? Laban, the uncle of Jacob, recognized that he had become prosperous because of the presence of Jacob. And he recognized it and he said it plainly. Hallelujah. Now, Genesis chapter 30 and verse 27. Genesis chapter 30 and verse 27. The Bible said, Laban said unto him, look at this. Laban said unto him, I pray thee, if I have found favor in thine eyes, tarry, that means wait, for I have learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake. Can you see that? He said, I have learned by what? Experience. I have observed and just observed that God has blessed me because of you. Amen. God has done what? Blessed me because of you. What he was saying is that God has blessed me, true, but I realize it is because of my association with you. Amen. Because Jacob was working for his uncle Laban, and Jacob wanted to leave him. He wanted to walk away from that relationship. His uncle told him, while he was staying with him, he fell in love with one of the man's daughters, you know. And he asked the man, you know, I mean, what will it take to take this girl with me? And the man said, you want this girl to come with you? You need to work for me for 7 years. Yeah. Yeah, that's an expensive girl, you know. Yeah. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. You see, yeah, if you're a girl, you have to try to be a bit, a little expensive. All right. So anyway, he said, you know, 7 years. Then at the end of the seventh year, instead of giving him the girl he wanted, he gave him the older sibling, you know, and pretended he didn't realize that it was the younger one the guy wanted, you know. So Jacob got up and said, this is not who I was working for. I was looking for the other one. And the man said, oh, the other one, that's more expensive. Yeah, the other one is more expensive. That's my last born. You get it? Yeah. No, she has a college degree. She's just doing her PhD. That's more expensive. That's twice the price. So she's 14 years. But since you've done 7 already, you know, just do another 7, you know, then you can have both. You see? Now, it was after the second set of 7 years that Jacob came back to this man to say, okay, you said 7 years. 7 years is up. I need to go now. Now, Jacob had run out of tricks. Laban had run out of tricks. Do you understand? If Laban had another daughter, I'm sure he would have. You see? But it was not until Laban spoke that we understood what was behind all these tricks. Not knowing that it wasn't really about parting with his daughters. But he had recognized that since this Jacob came to work for me, my life has been blessed. Do you understand? So any trick in the book to keep him working here is what he was trying to do. He was just trying to extend his contract. Do you get it? And now he had run out of space. He said, I have learned by experience that the Lord has blessed me for thy sake. You see, many people who don't have often not learned by experience for whose sake the Lord has blessed them. They have not learned from the experiences, from their time with the person, how much the Lord has offloaded into their lives since they started relating with this person. And so many people let go of relationships. They walk out of situations. They walk out of blessings. And they just let it go. And it's no surprise that over time, you become, like the word was used with the other guys, worthless. Are you getting it? Yes. Because what was sent to bless you, you've walked away from the person. You've walked away from the situation. People like to just walk away from good things. They just like to walk away, sometimes for no reason, just walking away. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yes. And some of that walk away behavior is generated by demons and evil spirits. Sometimes there are demons and evil spirits in us. Sometimes they are in our families. They are in our background. They are working to create the same outcome that has been created and perpetuated through your family line through the years. And they are fighting to make you like everybody else. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So Laban went a step further, even to ask Jacob, listen, why don't you stay with me on your terms? Look at the next verse, verse 28. Verse 28. He said, appoint me thy wages and I'll give it. Yeah. See, he could have done this all this time. But he never did that. Are you getting it? Yeah, he never did that. But when it came down to the wire, and he realized that now I cannot, because he can't suddenly now say that, oh, you know, I gave the wrong price for the girl. Actually, the girl, you know, I realized that she was worth a bit more. He couldn't play that game anymore. And from that point on, he was now going to lose Jacob. So now he said to Jacob, you tell me what you're worth. What do you want to be paid? What do you want to be paid? One of these days, somebody's going to ask you, what do you want to be paid? Yeah, what would you like us to do to keep you? Yes, because you are going to be that blessed person. Amen. But now we are talking about the blessed person that's in your life. Are you getting what I'm saying? Not the other person to whom you are a blessing. We are talking about the blessed person that God has put in your life to bless you. You get it? And you realize that sometimes you have to keep relationships on the other person's terms. Because you realize what a blessing they are to you. Yeah. You come when he wants you to come. You go when he wants you to go. You sort of tailor your life to suit the person's life. Because you can see that God has blessed you for the sake of that person. Can I have an amen? Amen. Are you understanding what I'm saying? God will bless you depending on who you associate with. God will send people into your life. Dennis, God will send someone into your life through whom your life will be changed. Amen. Amen. All the things we need will not necessarily come from our homes and from our families. How can it be? How can it be? Do you understand? Yes. Because your parents, your family is raised, you see, lacking the things your parents or the raisers lacked. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yeah.
My deficiencies will become my children's deficiencies.
Yeah.
Oh, is it not the case?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Most ladies who cook the way their mothers cooked.
Yeah.
You get it? So the mother didn't cook well.
Oh.
Yeah. Yes. What happens is that often the copy is a little faded. It's a little lighter than the original. So if the mother's cooking is bad, and the girl's cooking is a shade off that. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah, that's what happens. So God will often send people into your life to bless you. Do you understand? God will send people into your life to be a blessing to you. And you have to recognize it when somebody's in your life who is helping to move you forward. He's helping you to think in a new way, to see new possibilities. Even to encourage you to try out new things. Sometimes you look among your friends, when you're with a certain group of friends, you know, your whole life is different. Your values are different. The things you think about, you're always talking about movies and so on and so forth. Then sometimes you change schools. You go to another school. You find another set of friends. Suddenly you are thinking career. You're thinking, you know, grades. And it's just because the environment changed. The people changed. God sends people into your life who will be a blessing to you. And you need to recognize those people. Let me show you one more example before we close. Now, in Genesis, we're still in Genesis. Genesis chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13 and verse 1. Quickly, please. Genesis chapter 13, verse 1. It says, Abraham went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. Can you see that?
Yeah.
Now, go to chapter 12 and verse 1. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1. The Bible says, the Lord appeared unto Abraham and told him, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Verse 2. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing.
Amen.
This is all stuff that God told to who? Abraham. Now, verse 3. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So this is a blessed person, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right. Next verse, verse 4. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. Can you see that?
Yeah.
Now, this Lot is a smart guy. Do you see?
Yeah.
God hadn't told him to move. Do you understand? But he identified somebody to whom God had made a whole lot of promises. Do you understand? God had promised to bless Abraham. He was going to make him great and everything. So when Abraham was leaving town, then Lot went with him. Can you see that? Yeah. It says, Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him, Abraham. And as for Lot, he just went with Abraham. He said, we don't even read about Lot talking to the Lord anywhere. There's nothing like the Lord said to Lot. No. It's the Lord saying things to Abraham. Do you understand? and Abraham obeying and Lot just following. Okay? So now go to chapter 13. In chapter 13, it says in verse 1 that Abraham went out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him. Can you see? Lot is still around. Then in verse 2, it says Abraham was very rich. Can you see? Very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. Then verse 3. And he went his journeys and went to this place and that place. Verse 4. And to the place of the altar. Now verse 5 says, and Lot also. Can you see? Which went with Abraham. He had flocks and herds and tents. Do you understand? Read verse 2 again. Verse 2. Abraham was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. Then verse 5. And Lot also, which went with Abraham. Do you see? He also had flocks and herds and tents. Now you tell me that Lot's prosperity has nothing to do with Abraham. It has everything to do with Abraham. That is why the Bible says, it says, Lot, which went with him. Do you understand? Lot, which went with Abraham. Lot, which went with Abraham. It means who you go with is very important. Who you go with is very important. And sometimes we choose to go with people who are cursed.
Hey.
Yes. How do we know they are cursed? You look, anybody that's walking in disobedience is cursed.
That's right.
People who steal are cursed. The Bible says there's a curse that will fall upon the house of a thief, and it will stay in the house. So that's why you see that sometimes a whole group of friends and everybody's life is messed up, because they are all following one person who is cursed because of their behavior. Sometimes rebellion against parents, that's another thing that brings a curse on people. Do you see? Your best friend is someone who doesn't obey their parents. Someone who is rude and arrogant to their parents. Someone who exchanges words. I mean, how do you even get to the place where you exchange words with someone who's been watching you when you couldn't talk until you started to talk? How do you exchange words with such a person? I mean, doesn't it even occur to you that they have such a lead over you that you cannot match them with even with words? Are you understanding the word of God today? It says, Lot also, which went with Abraham, had flocks and herds and tents. No, there's even another verse that will blow your mind. Chapter 19. Genesis chapter 19 and verse 29. Genesis chapter 19 and verse 29. Look at this. It says, and it came to pass that when the Lord, can you see it?
Yeah.
When God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out. Look at this. Can you see that? God remembered Abraham and then he decided to deliver Lot. Not because of Lot, but because of his memory of the guy with whom Lot went. Can you see that? Yes. Now these things are real. So the company you keep, the people that you go with, the blessed people that God sends into your life are very important to keep. Amen. And often you are the one who has to make the adjustment that is necessary just to keep belonging to that group, to keep belonging to that environment, You are the one who has to adjust. That's why Laban said, you tell me your wages. What? Tell me what it takes to have you and I'll adjust. I'll pay you. I'll do what you want me to do just to keep you around here. Instead of telling him, you can go. And most of the time, we are filled with pride. Do you understand? We are filled with pride. And pride makes us talk in certain ways, and it causes us to quarrel with people who we need. You get it? But that's exactly what we never want to admit, that I need you. That's the last thing you want to say to such a person. I don't need you is what you want to prove. Is that true or false? Yes. Even the person through whom your life has changed so much, most of the time you want to say, I don't need you. You want to prove to the person that you are self-sustaining, self-capable. You can handle yourself. You don't need the person. I don't need you. Even though the person, you clearly need the person. Yeah. Sometimes you see married people behave like that. Yeah. It's like, I don't need you. Meanwhile, you even have the person's name.
Forgive.
You had a name. You put it somewhere. You've taken on this person's name. And you are still saying, I don't need you. See some guys, they can't cook. They can't make even tea. They cannot make. And they are still walking around saying, I don't need you. Do you understand? I don't need you. When the only thing you can do is to drink water. That's the only thing you can do by yourself. Instead of being humble and saying, I'm sorry, and saying, appoint me thy wages and I'll pay. You tell me how to appease you. What will make you happy? What do you want? Instead of being humble, say, no, 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 no. I don't need you. Yeah. Hallelujah. It came to pass when God destroyed the cities that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow. When he overthrew the cities in which Lot dwelt, Lot was living there. Abraham was not living there. God had no business trying to fetch Lot out of that place. But he remembered that Abraham had a vital connection. Do you understand? This is a connection that was going to affect Abraham. He said, Abraham, for your sake, I'm going to bless Lot. And even this Lot, when they started removing him out of this place, it was a problem. He didn't want to go. Go back to verse 15. Go to verse 15. You see, angels have come to come. This verse 29 is just a summary of what happened. Do you get it? But in verse 15, it says, when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. You know? Then verse 16, and while he lingered, do you see? Yeah, he didn't want to go. He didn't want to go, you know, so he would go up there and come downstairs. Then he would tell the angels, oh, you know something. Then he would go upstairs and just go and sit on his bed, you know, and look around and say, really, are we going to leave this place? This Sodom, this Gomorrah, this is a nice neighborhood. Do you see? Yeah, it's a good school district. He didn't know that all his kids were going to be shot soon. Do you get it? But look at the verse. In that same verse, look, I just want you to see something. He says, and while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters. So they are literally being dragged out. Can you see? And it says, what in that dragging, it says, the Lord was being merciful unto him. Are you getting it?
The Lord was being merciful unto him. I mean, something you don't want to do, and it seems someone is forcing you to do, and you know, instead of calling it being forced, look at it and see what it really is. And you find out that what looks to you like someone is encroaching on your life, someone is trying to control you, someone is trying to interfere with your life, someone is trying to meddle with your business, is actually God showing you mercy. Because you can be left alone. You can be left alone. No one will ever call you again. No one will ever try to visit you again. No one will ever give you a ride again. No one will ever invite you again. No one, you just be condemned to whatever you are headed towards. Except that often what you are headed towards is you're not there yet, so you don't know where you're going. Because if Lot knew that only fire was coming to the city, he would have been running. Do you understand? But he thought that they were about to have elections. And he had contemplated being a congressman for his neighborhood. You know, and he thought that the future was bright. He had two daughters that he thought were about to get married. Do you see? Yes. The daughters had some two guys. Yeah. And the reason why they are not mentioned here is because when the angels came to tell them that the city was about to be destroyed, those two boys were laughing. He said they mocked, they laughed, they felt that, you know, this thing is not serious. Yeah. And sometimes there are people who make serious things look like they are not serious. Yeah, you can have friends who make a mockery of things that for you are a matter of life and death. They were about to die. And the boys were joking. I mean, the girls' boyfriends. They were joking about it. So the angels decided to draw the line. You know, yeah. Because now it was getting too wide. God was not remembering even Lot himself. It was Abraham. And Lot was benefiting. But because it was Lot, then his wives. Or his wife. And then his daughters. Now we are adding daughters, boyfriends. We'll soon be adding daughters, boyfriends, parents. It's the whole thing is going too far. Before we know it, the whole city is coming out. So God said, listen, this is where we draw the line. The girls are going to have to find some new husbands. And they dragged them out, the Lord showing him what? Mercy. Mercy. And they brought him forth. Look, they brought him forth and they set him without the city. That means on the outskirts of the city. They just brought him forth. They took him, let's say, out of the main LA area. And when they got to San Bernardino area, they said, you can now look at it. Then look at Lot. Look at the next verse. Next verse. It says, and it came to pass when they had brought them forth, that the angel said to him, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain. Go to the mountain. Do you see? Otherwise you'll be consumed. Then verse 18. Then Lot said to them, oh, not so, my Lord. You see, not so, my Lord. Next verse. He said, behold now, thy servant has found grace in thy sight. Why don't you change the version again, please? Just give us the other version. So he says, behold now, right? Yes, your servant has found favor in your sight, and you have magnified your loving kindness, which you have shown me by saving my life. But I cannot escape to the mountains, for disaster will overtake me and I will die. The real disaster is behind you. And the angel says, go to the mountain. But you see, this guy, because it means making some effort, it means climbing a mountain, it means doing something. I mean, there are some people like that. They are not prepared to make even the effort that saves their lives. That it may mean you have to wake up early. It may mean you may have to sleep a little later. It may mean you have to drive a certain distance. But it saves your life and it is worth it. The angel told him it's not about, you know, it's not like a temporary evacuation. Do you understand? Yeah, sometimes when the fires come up here in LA, they evacuate neighborhoods and that sort of thing. This is not something like that. This one, the angel said, it's your life. If you stay here, you are guaranteed to die. Can you see that? Yes. Now look at him. He says, you have magnified your loving kindness, which you have shown me by saving my life, but I cannot escape to the mountains, for the disaster will overtake me and I'll die. Then verse 20, Lord says, now behold, this town is near enough to flee to. It is small. Please let me escape there. Is it not small? That my life will be saved. So now Lot himself has come up with an alternative. And he's saying that instead of doing the difficult thing the angel is asking him to do, why don't you let me do this easy thing which is actually near the place? See, this is how he lost his wife, because he went to live near the place that was burning. Do you understand? And so because it was close enough, the proximity allowed her, tempted her to just look behind her. And that's how she became a pillar of salt. So following things because it's easy. It's because it's easy. I've known people, they choose a church because it's near them. It's just near them. They'll go all the way across town because the school near them is not good. And they'll go to the school very far away. But when it comes to church, they want the one next door. There's one next door. It doesn't matter what preaching is there. It doesn't matter if it's affecting them. It doesn't matter what. No. I don't want to put out so much of myself. I don't want to go to church and then it takes me hours to go and come and all that. I don't want to do that. Even if it saves my life. There must be other ways of saving my life. That's what Lot is saying. He said, look at it. He says, this town is near enough proximity. And it is small. Let me escape there, that my life may be saved. There must be other ways of saving my life other than going to the mountain. When angel says, go to the mountain. Are you understanding my message? Because I've finished. Hallelujah. So God is talking to us. God is showing us that when he puts a blessing in your life, recognize it. Amen. For many of you, this church is a great blessing. It's a great blessing. But you have to see it. Amen. The Bible says you have to see that I have provided for you. I've provided for you people who will be a family. People who will care for you. People who will be there for you. Perhaps the real reason why we're even in your life is not here yet. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. The real reason why God introduced you to this environment is not even here yet. Maybe it's for the future. It's for a year or two down the line. Hallelujah. I want to encourage all of you to recognize the blessing that God puts in your life. Amen. Recognize his visitation and recognize the people that he brings into your life, and it will be a blessing to you. Say amen. Well, stand to your feet and let's bring the service to a close. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Close your eyes, please, and let's pray. Now, I want you to take a moment and pray for yourself and say, Lord, help me open my eyes to see every place, every person that is blessed in my life. Open my eyes to see the people you have placed in my life to be a blessing to me. The people through whom you will bless me and affect my life. Open my eyes to see them in the name of Jesus. Help me not to walk such people out of my life. Help me not to throw such people away. Help me not to turn down such opportunities. But help me, Lord, to take advantage of them in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, as we close the service, I want to give you an opportunity. If you're here or you're watching us online or listening to the podcast, but you know in your heart that you're not saved and you want to give your life to Jesus, I want to give you that opportunity today to give your life to Jesus. You're saying, Lord Jesus, I don't want to go to hell when I die. I want to go to heaven. I want to be sure I'm saved. If that's a prayer on your heart, I want you to join us as we say this prayer together. Say it together, Lord Jesus. Say it again. Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying for me. I believe with my heart that you are Lord. And I confess with my mouth that God raised you from the dead. Say, Lord Jesus, please come into my heart. Forgive my sins, Lord. Let your blood wash me. And let your blood cleanse me. And make me a child of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing my prayer. And everybody says, amen. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord. Amen. Now we want to come to the Lord's table. I want to come to the Lord's table. We're going to have communion in a moment. Amen. Since we are and our lives have just begun,
in the Spirit we are one, and will live forever,
sons of God. Hear His holy word.
Sons of God, song of love. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I want you to take with me your bread. Father, we thank you for your body, which is broken for us. Your body is strong. Your body even overcomes death. Our bodies are weak. Our bodies succumb to sickness and disease and so many things that break our bodies down. Lord, we pray that as we eat your body, you will enter us, Lord. Let your life be infused into us in the name of Jesus. Let the strength in your body that overcomes and defies death, let that strength come into us to overcome and defy anything that is driving us towards an early grave. In the name of Jesus. Sicknesses, diseases, Lord, that are poised to taking us out. In the name of Jesus, I pray, Father, that the life in the body, the life in the bread, the life in the wine will become our life, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Let your life be our life, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for your blessing. Say with me, the body of Jesus Christ. The body of Jesus Christ eats the bread. Jesus. There is life in the blood. Hallelujah. There's life in the blood. Blood gives life. And today, as you drink this, this is the blood of Jesus. This is what you are introducing into your own life. Diseases that have entered your body because they are in your bloodline. Today, they will be cut out and canceled in your life in the name of Jesus. Because of the blood of Jesus. Let the blood of Jesus bring life. May the blood of Jesus bring life in the name of Jesus. Say with me, the blood of Jesus. You may drink it. On a hill far away stood an old
cross,
the emblem of suffering and shame. And I loved that old cross where the dearest and best wore a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the Oregon cross till my trophies at last I lay down. And I will cling to the Oregon cross and exchange someday for a crown.
Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for your blessing. Thank you for your life. Thank you, Father, for your power. Thank you for the blessing. Communion is the cup of blessing, Lord. And we've all drunk of the cup of blessing. We can expect blessing to be released into our lives. Amen. We can expect every blessing
that we need to match the curses that are at work in our lives.
Amen.
Every blessing we need to neutralize any curse that has been activated consciously or unconsciously in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Lord, let your blood wash away our mistakes.
Amen.
Let your blood cleanse us from every sin.
Yes.
Let your blood cleanse us from every iniquity.
Amen.
Let the blood of Jesus answer and keep every door closed that we have opened by ourselves, by our behaviors, by our actions, Lord. Every step we have taken that has given the enemy advantage over us, Lord, let the blood of Jesus stand at that door and answer that claim to our lives in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
That claim to our destiny, that claim to our future, that claim to our prosperity,
yes,
that claim to our continued living, oh God, let the blood of Jesus speak, oh God,
amen,
on our behalf. In the name of Jesus,
amen,
we thank you for the power,
amen,
we encounter each time we have communion. We thank you for your blessing, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody says amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Put your hands together. And exchange it someday for a crown. Hallelujah. Amen.